Let's turn in our Bibles, if you have your Bible handy, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 30 through 44. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both which they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.' And so he answered and said to them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?'" A denarii was a common worker's day's wage, so it was like 200 days' wage. In verse 38, he says, "But he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' When they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. And so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments, and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men." Let's pause and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we find that your word is what keeps us sane at times, what provides principles for living, strengthens us as your sons and daughters, and gives us the hope and enables us to be able to live by faith even when there seems to be problems, troubles that are beyond our ability to meet the needs. Your word enables us to gain a divine perspective and helps us to be able to overcome the things that weigh us down, the things that trouble us. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here. I pray, God, that you'd pour out your blessings upon each soul, even more so. I know we have felt you as we worshiped you. We felt your presence ministering to our hearts, and we're so thankful to you. And now, Lord, as we read and study your word, we ask, God, that you would, in a greater way, minister to our hearts. Give us a greater understanding of your love and of your compassion for us. Lord, we thank you that you're here in our midst and you desire to do a great work. And so, God, we take every distracting thought, everything that would preoccupy our minds, the cares, the troubles of life. Take them now. We cast them at your feet. We just want to hear from you. And Lord, we believe that you can speak to all of us as a church. And we also believe that you could speak to each of us as individuals. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves in your sight. And we pray that you would lift us up by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have ever been asked, what's your problem? I've been asked, hey, what's your problem? I remember one person said, you got a problem? And I didn't have a problem. I really didn't have a problem. And he said, I'll show you what the problem is. But it all worked out. And sometimes not only people challenge us with, what's your problem? Life has a way of challenging us with problems. And so often we find ourselves facing difficult situations, and we feel that in light of the circumstances, we feel either afraid or not sure how it's all going to work out. And it affects us. It affects the way that we think, the way that we feel. It affects our relationship with the Lord. At times, it affects our relationships with other people. And there's a good chance that many of us here are in a situation where we look at it as a problem. We're facing problems. And what we're looking for is we're looking for comfort. We're looking for strength. We're looking for hope. We're looking for a sense of security and a sense that, you know, I don't know how it's going to work out, but God, I need your help. I need your help. I pray you help me. This problem is in my mind, it is huge. It's all I can see. I wonder, you don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you right now are going through something that's very, very difficult. You know, you have a problem. You're troubled here this morning. Now, the good thing is that God has no problems. And you're in the right place. You're here in the house of God who has no problems. He just has all the answers. And not only does he have all the answers, there's nothing too difficult for God. Your problem right now, although it's very, very difficult for you, is certainly not too difficult for God. And he's going to help you. He will help you. As you trust him, he will help you. I'm very confident of that fact, that God will help you. You're looking for help, God is going to help you. You know how close you are? Probably you feel like you can't do it anymore. You're ready to quit. You're ready to crumble. You're probably so close to that point where God is going to come through. I don't know about you, but for me, he usually comes through at 11:59. But he comes through. Jesus has not failed me yet. I cannot ever say out of these 20 plus years, 24 years, Jesus has let me down. He hasn't. And, you know, we've faced our problems, haven't we? Think of all the times he's been there to help you. Well, he's going to help you. He's not done with you. He loves you. Now, we're going to look at the disciples. We can so often relate with them. And we're going to look to this story and see what they looked at as a problem. And we're going to see, as we already read, how Jesus solved the problem and how Jesus gave them a greater understanding of who he was and the power that he has to be able to do the impossible. Let me ask you, do you serve the God of the possible? Or do you serve the God of the impossible? Is what is possible for you possible for God? And you put limits on God because, you know, I can't do it. If it's impossible for me, let's turn it around. If it's impossible for me, then... Well, in your mind, you probably say, no, I know that God can do the impossible. But then why do you live as if God can only do the possible? That's it. And you limit what God can do. Why do you do that? If you really believe that Jesus is Lord and that he is all-powerful, why do you live as if he can't? When Paul says he can. Well, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And through Christ, we can face today. We can face tomorrow, knowing that he's with us to help us. So let's look at the disciples, and let's kind of put ourselves in this account. Let's try to feel what possibly they may feel. You know, I read the account, and I'm going to insert what I would think, what I would feel based on reading the account, and see things from a perspective, and then we'll look at some application and look at things from God's perspective. All right, so what's your problem? You know, a problem is defined as a difficult thing, something very difficult to accomplish, a matter or a situation regarded as unwelcomed or harmful and needing to be dealt with. And we're going to see in the disciples that there was something that was quite unwelcomed to them. And that was the crowd, the multitude of people. At some point, they felt like we have to make sure that these people get home. And I wonder, was it a real, genuine, sincere desire for them, for their welfare, for their well-being? Or was it perhaps they were very exhausted and tired and finally they just had enough? Have you ever just had enough? And you're like, enough, man. Hey, why don't you guys go home? But in the meanwhile, you're thinking, I'm tired. I am exhausted. I'm hungry. I can't. I've had enough. Well, think about the disciples. Listen, they had come back from a missionary trip, a short-term missionary trip. They had been ministering, working very hard, ministering to multitudes of people, going from place to place on foot, living at the mercies of others for some time. And they were tired. There was always something going on. Always working, and Jesus had them busy, so busy that they didn't even have time to eat in their service to the Lord. And sometimes that's how it is when you're serving the Lord. It's go, 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 go. And it could physically be draining. And so finally, they hear what I would have loved to hear. I mean, if I put myself in their sandals, I would have loved to hear, hey, why don't you come, let's go get some rest. It would be like, oh yeah. Because they had just got done telling them all the things that they had done, all the things that they had taught. And they were excited, no doubt, but I'm sure they were feeling, yes, rest. And then their rest gets interrupted. Oh, last night. It's like without fail, there's always something in my life that when it comes to Saturday to Sunday, I could fall asleep at 10 o'clock during the week, and I have my struggles with sleep, but during the week I fall asleep at 10 o'clock, wake up at 5:36. But then when it comes to Saturday, there's always something that makes it hard for me to get a good night's sleep. Last night it was Michael. Michael comes into our room and says, Dad, I can't sleep. I said, well, why don't you come lay next to us? I was sleeping, mind you, and then he woke me up. So then I was in the middle of the bed. Now, I'm going to be real raw here with you guys because I know that you guys go through similar things, maybe in a different way, but I was laying in the middle next to my wife and Michael, How I got in the middle, it's just, I was just too tired to say, Michael, you get in the middle. So I didn't quite get the sleep that I needed. And then I had to go to the bathroom. And I didn't want to get up because I was in the middle of them. And I thought, you know, I'm almost 44. It's just getting harder to get up, you know. So I couldn't really get good sleep. You guys understand. Some of you understand. I just couldn't get good sleep. So finally, you know, my sleep was interrupted. So finally I interrupted Michael's sleep. I said, Michael, you got to get up and go either move to the middle or go to your own room. And he says, good night, Dad. He gets up. Nobody wants to be in the middle, you know. So he got up and went, well, interrupted. You know, we do not like our rest, or oftentimes we just don't want to be interrupted. Now, I would have thought, man, this would have been great. Put yourself again in the disciples' shoes and think to yourself, we're going to get some rest, some time just with Jesus, just to hang out with the Lord and be blessed, and just some downtime. And so, as I said, they were interrupted. And then they know Jesus, he's going to meet the needs of the people. And you know, he's going to have compassion on the people. And, you know, our work is going to just begin once again. I think you haven't eaten already. It's been so busy. You haven't even had anything. How do you feel when you don't eat all day? And you're on the go, on the go, on the go. You know, people that are like that, usually they're grumpy. Aren't they grumpy and short-fused? You know, I know that all very well. And so, you know, he has compassion on the multitudes. Now, taking myself out of the story, and we take ourselves out of the story, to me, this is the highlight. This is one of the highlights of the text. I mean, the miracle's great too. That shows who Jesus really is and that he has all power. And he created something out of barely nothing, which is a beautiful lesson that God doesn't need much to do much. God can do much with just the little that we bring. Now, to me, it's a highlight to think that Jesus had compassion for the people. You know, people who were lost, people who were in need, people who were hurting, and people who were desperate, people who felt, I'm sure, empty, felt like they really had no purpose. And to me, it's such a blessing to know that we serve a Savior. Our Jesus is a compassionate, merciful shepherd who loves his sheep. And maybe this morning you just need to be reminded you're hurting, you're desperate, you feel lost, you feel like, what's my purpose, God? You even may wonder, where are you? Are you abandoning me? Where are you, God? And you feel lost in the whole situation. But we need to be reminded that, listen, our shepherd, he does have compassion over us as people. And the kind of compassion he has is not, oh, poor guy. Look at him suffering. That's so sad. Maybe somebody will come and help him. No, he gets involved. And sometimes it's hard for us to see him involved. But listen, those of you who've lost sight that Jesus is involved, he's involved. Just because you can't see what's going on or what he's doing, he's working. He's working and he's going to see you through it. Because he is a God of compassion. You know, I came across this hymn, and it reads, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And perhaps those of you who are in desperate need, you could be praying this prayer as I'm reading this psalm or this hymn. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy presence, pleasant pastures feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. We are thine, Do thou befriend us? Be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin. Defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy or compassion to relieve us, grace to cleanse, and power to free. And it's good to be reminded that we have, a compassionate, loving Savior. Now let's get back into the story in the sense of putting ourselves in the disciples' place. Now, think about it. As the day's progressing, Jesus is going on teaching the multitude. And perhaps to the disciples, he's going on and on and on and on and on. You know, there are sometimes where people that you respect and you look up to and you feel like you could listen to them all day. But then there comes a point where no matter how excellent it is, you can get to a point where your physical things start to dominate your thinking and your feelings. And I could picture the disciples. Now, forgive me if you don't see it this way, but I could see them, you know, perhaps even, all right, how much longer, Jesus? I've heard all this before. We've gone from town to town. I'm so hungry. Doesn't he care about us? And I can just picture them talking. And so they had enough. And they had a meeting. One of them, I think it's Philip, based on one of the other accounts that Jesus tests Philip. But it's usually one person that starts to share what they think and what they feel. Well, others may be thinking the same thing, but others are a little more reserved. But then the one person says, you know, and maybe it's on the surface, a good gesture. You know, these poor people, they're probably really hungry. They've just been listening to Jesus over, you know, listening, going on and on. And so maybe we should go and, hey, let's pray about this. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's stop and let's pray that maybe he'll send them away. You know, that's a little funny. But so they had this meeting. They came up with a plan. And then they interrupt Jesus. Could you imagine that? That's like one of you coming up and say, hey, Pastor, let me just interrupt you for a minute. You know, the deacons would come and they'll probably grab. No, they wouldn't do that. And so they interrupt Jesus. How did they do that? Now, we read that there was 5,000 men. Now, let's think. If each one of these guys were married, that's 10,000. And if they all had one child, that's 15,000. Potentially there was 15,000 people there. So how did they do it? Excuse me, Jesus? Or did they come from behind him and tap him on the shoulder? We don't know how they did it, but would you like to be the one to interrupt Jesus? Well, they interrupted the Lord, and then they advise him. Lord, it's been a long day. These people are hungry. Why don't you send them away so they can go into the towns and get something to eat? And then Jesus turns around and he tells them, why don't you give them something to eat? He turns, you know, they have some advice for the Lord, and he turns it on them. He says, why don't you give them something to eat? You think there's a problem here? Okay, well, why don't you fix the problem? And sometimes that's how we are. We look at certain things in life and we perceive them as a problem because of the way they're affecting us. And we don't realize so often that Jesus is working. Jesus is doing something great and wonderful, but we don't see it that way. And sometimes we'll look at what's going on and we'll look at it as a problem. That's the way we see it. And so Jesus, he says, why don't you fix the problem? Why don't you go ahead and give them something to eat? Now, a part of me wonders, I think, was it possible that he was giving them an opportunity, but they just weren't in the right frame of mind? They weren't ready for an opportunity? Because he gave them other opportunities. He gave them power to heal the sick, and they went out and preached the gospel, and they did miracles. I guess we won't know. But nevertheless, he says, you fix the problem. And they couldn't. They couldn't fix the problem. It was beyond their ability. And it's almost, I take it, almost as if Jesus saying, you know, you're right. You can't fix the problem. Because they said, how are we going to be able to supply for such a great demand? And it's like, you're right. You can't. But I can. I have this under control. I wonder if that's a good word for some of you. Listen, you can't, but I can. I have this under control. Hey, you can't, but he can. He's got it under control. Why do you keep looking at it as a problem? Is this potentially an opportunity for you to trust in the Lord and to see him work? Remember, you can't. He can. He's got it under control. And then what ends up resulting, this resulting in it, is Jesus doing this great, amazing miracle. This miracle is the only miracle that's accounted for in every gospel. He does an amazing thing, and he just takes a few loaves of bread and two fish. He blesses them, he breaks them, and then he gives them away. And the multitudes are being filled. You know, and this was a huge, think about the task for the disciples. After being so tired, working, hungry, and then he commands them, he tells them, hey, why don't we get the multitude? I want you to go out there and get the multitude in groups. Some groups of 100, some groups of 50. Think about just logistically the work that had to be. And how would you be feeling at that moment before the miracle took place? How would you be feeling? Like, are you serious? Because he tells them, well, what do you have? And they come and they just bring a few loaves and a couple fish. They say, this is what you have. He says, all right, give them to me. Why don't you go ahead and break up the groups into smaller groups? Break up the group into smaller groups, 150. Think about, again, how did they do that? And you know how hard it is to get people in order? I mean, sometimes, what do you have to do? Usually at the baptism picnic, for us to get, and there was maybe a couple hundred people at the baptism picnic last week, and we heard a lot of screaming, huh? Whenever there was time to get things in order, some of the folks would start screaming. I'm not going to give you a demonstration because, you know, most of you were there. But they start screaming, hey, everybody, give us your, you know. How did they do it? But they did it. And I wonder, what were they thinking? Jesus, he takes the bread and the loaves, and he blesses them. Then he breaks them. Then he gives them to the... I wonder what that looked like. And what did they have? And some teachers say that it multiplied in their hands as they gave it away. Imagine being a disciple and seeing this take place. What would you be thinking? My God is great. He's awesome. Man, Jesus, you're amazing. You know, I wonder at first, I was listening to one guy, and he said, and it was so funny, cracking me up. He had just some fish and some bread, and he painted a picture of one of the disciples going to the group and just looking at these little pieces, and then looking at a whole group of 50, and it's like, here, just take a real small piece. No, what are you? What's wrong with you? That's too big. Break that up and split it up. Nevertheless, everybody was full And not only was everyone full, there was 12 baskets left over. And so here the disciples, they wanted to push the problem away, and God gave them an opportunity to see Him work in a mighty, powerful way, and to get a greater understanding of who Jesus is. I wonder if your problem today is in reality an opportunity for you to see Jesus work in an amazing way. You know, sometimes what we think is a problem is not the true problem. The true problem is not what we think, but how we think about something so often. You know, the way we view things. We see things as how they affect us. But God has a much greater plan and a much bigger view. And so often what we need is the divine view. We need God's view. Maybe your problem is your income, your finances. You know, and perhaps some of us, sometimes we generate our own problems by the decisions that we make, and we put ourselves in financial situations that are very hurtful and painful. And perhaps the Lord, what He wants to do is teach us how to manage our finances. And in a year or 2 years from now, your situation could be so different if you just learn how to manage your finances. So much better. Or perhaps it's your marriage. You focus too much on the marriage. And Jesus wants you to focus more on Him and trust that He's going to take care of your marriage as you do what's right in His sight. Perhaps it's your children. You put too much focus on your kids. You love your kids really more than you love God. God, I love you. But you live as if, God, I love you, but I love my kids more. And really what we have to do is all those things that can preoccupy us and become the trouble, the problem, we have to get God's divine perspective on things and trust Him. Trust that He's going to work. He's going to do something much greater than what we can imagine if we trust Him. He's going to work it out. Now, in closing, I want to give you a few points. You know, this was discipleship training. That's what this was. This was a training in discipleship. This was discipleship 101. This was a time for the disciples to really look at their own hearts, to see where they were at, see how they were thinking, just thinking humanly, natural. But they were with Jesus. They were following Jesus. They were His disciples. They were to live by faith and not see things with just a humanistic perspective. They were to see things through God's perspective. And one of the things that Jesus had, He has compassion for people. He loves people. And they came to really understand how loving the Lord is and how He's able to do the impossible. And their understanding of Jesus was growing and developing. And we're His disciples, we're His followers. And oftentimes it's through what seems to be a problem to us, God can use those things to help us to gain a much greater understanding of how powerful and how awesome He is and how He is able. How we can't, but He can. He's got it under control. And so just a few points. Number one, I mentioned it already, but you know what? God doesn't need much to do much. You know, God can take the little that we are, the little that we can offer, and just bless it and do great things. So you might think, wow, I don't have much. I can't do much. You might even feel like you're not much, but I'll tell you, you are very valuable to the Lord. He loves you. And you just, by faith, you just, whatever you have to be a solution to what seems to be the problem, you give that to the Lord. And you let Him take it. You let Him bless it, break it. And you let Him distribute it. You let Him work it out. And of course, you do your part. The disciples, he included them in it, huh? He gave them work to do. You go ahead and you organize people to sit down. They had their role. They had their part. So they didn't just sit by the sidelines and say, okay, let's see what you're going to do. We have to do our part. Another point, second point, is, you know, what we seem, and I may have said this already, but what we seem as problems, what seems to be a problem to us, really what they are opportunities. Again, for us to trust Jesus and to see what he's going to do. The third thing is God tests us to keep us growing in faith and obedience. You know, this no doubt was a test for the disciples. Even in John's gospel, it says that Jesus said, why don't you feed him, to Philip, testing him. Because Jesus, he knew what he was going to do. And so sometimes we need these types of situations, because these are the types of situations that confront us with our own hearts. And they test us, they challenge us, they stretch us, and they help us to grow spiritually. And the way that they help us to grow is not just by believing that God can, but obeying him, doing what's right, even though it's difficult and even though it's challenging. That's where we really grow, is when we believe in him, trust him, and obey him, do what's right. Now, in closing, I want to ask you, what's your problem? And I want to challenge you with this challenge. Listen, take what you see as the problem and give it to him. Just take it and say, Lord, for me, this is a problem. It's bigger than me. I can't. I'm going to take it. I'm just going to leave it in your hands. Can you do that? Can you just take it and leave it in his hands and not take it back again? And you pray this prayer, and you could even pray this now. You can close your eyes. And I'm just, as a pastor, just wanting to help you. You can close your eyes. You can bow your heads. And you could pray this prayer from your heart and really mean it. God, take this problem, bless me, break me, and use me to reach others for your sake. I don't want this problem to disable me. You called me to be your follower, and I want to follow you. And I want to not be distracted by these things. I want your spirit to have full and free reign in my heart so that I can be a witness for you in the midst of the problems and the troubles. I'm just going to take this and I'm going to give it to you, Lord. I'm just going to give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And Father, I too thank you so much for how faithful you are to us. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, your compassion. I thank you for your word. It's so rich and so pure, and how you desire to help us. And Lord, I pray for those who are hurting, those who are going through it. I thank you so much for those that have taken the challenge, the step of faith, and they've taken whatever it is that's concerning them, and they've given it to you. Lord, I pray you'd help them, give them wisdom, help them with the next steps and what to do. Continue to lead them and guide them, provide for them, encourage them, strengthen them. And Lord, I know that you want to do a great work in our lives, and we don't want to miss out on anything that you desire to do. Your word tells us no good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so, Lord, we thank you for your promises that you're not going to withhold anything good. If we do what's right and we walk upright, you're not going to withhold anything good from us. And so we come to you, our loving Father, the shepherd of our souls, and we give to you all that we are. We pray that you'd be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.